Hare Krishna. Welcome back to the Mahabharat character series. We are continuing our discussion on Yudhishthir. So the Pandavas are in the forest and Arjuna has decided, as per the instruction of Vyasadeva, to go to the heavens, and the other Pandavas, with Domashrishi's guidance, have gone towards the Himalayas, towards the Gandhamadan mountain. Actually, Narada told them that they should go towards the travel to the holy places, ultimately go towards the Himalayas and gain pious credits. And Narada Muni also told that Lomasha will guide you along. Lomasha seconded Narada Muni's instructions and guided them. Lomasha said, I had gone to heavens and there I saw, to my great surprise, that your brother Arjuna was sitting on the same throne as Indra, along with right next to him Mahadasanardham. So we will discuss about that illustrious event when we talk about Arjuna. As the Pandavas went upwards, they came to the top of the Gandhamadan mountain. It was beautiful. There were fruits and flowers and everything was so naturally opulent. It seemed as if the Pandavas had come to a luxurious another planet. And as they lived over there, one day Bhima went up. We'll discuss that full story when we talk about Bhima. But he fought with the Yakshas and he killed many Yakshas, and Kuvera got angry because of that. So it was when Yudhishthir followed up behind Bhima, and when he saw what Bhima had done, he reprimanded him and told him that be careful. You should not offend the gods like this. And they can destroy us. They are much more powerful than us. And he waited very submissively. When Kuvera came and saw that the Pandavas were very submissive, he was pleased and he forgave and blessed them. So whenever there is some mistake that happens, by being submissive, we can minimize the damage that happens. And Yudhishthira demonstrates that. The details of the story we'll discuss when we talk about Bhima. And so several times Bhima, because of his impetuosity, would get into trouble and Yudhishthira would get him out of that trouble. Another time, Bhima had just gone around in the forest sporting, and as he was sporting around, suddenly in front of a cave, he saw a giant snake. It had four huge fangs and its body seemed to cover the whole cave, mountain cave. And as Bhima was looking at it, it seemed such a terrible being. And suddenly, with lightning speed, that snake moved around, caught Bhima in his coils. And Bhima used all his enormous strength, but could do nothing. And he just fell unconscious. After some time, when Bhima came back to consciousness, he was stunned. He asked, he says, Oh snake, who are you? He says, my power cannot be withstood even by the gods, and yet you have overpowered me. How is that? So the snake replied in a loud sonorous voice. He says, I was the Raj Rishi Lomasha. And I had performed great austerities, and by that I had ascended to heaven. But there I became proud. And at one time I asked the Brahmins to carry me as a palanquin. And then I touched Agastya on his back, urging him to move fast. Sarpa can mean fast, move quickly. And Agastya got angry at my insolence and he cursed me that you should become a serpent. I fell from that and I have become a snake. And I begged forgiveness and I asked him for his blessings. So he said that you will be in this body and you will have the power that whoever comes in your vicinity, you will be able to overpower that person and you will be able to eat him. So Bhima, today you will be my food. And Bhima was overpowered, not knowing what to do. Yudhishthira, in the meanwhile, saw inauspicious omens. He saw the inauspicious Vartika bird circling all around, and all around he saw signs of danger. He immediately went to check the well-being of Bhima. And as he followed the footmarks and he slithered, went up the mountains, suddenly he saw Bhima lying in the coils of the snake. He was amazed. He folded his hands in front of the snake and he says, oh great one, who are you? How is it that you have been able to overpower Bhima? So Bhima explained to him before the snake could reply. And then Yudhishthira turned to him. He said, "Oh snake, if it is your desire for food, actually Nahusha had been cursed that not only would he not, he had to become a snake, but he was almost like an immobile snake. So his gift was that if anybody came within his vicinity, he would be able to overpower them. But otherwise, he could not move much." So Yudhishthira said, "We will arrange other food for you. Please release Bhima. He is my dear brother and he is a very virtuous person. Please do not punish him. Please do not eat him." So Nahusha replied that, "I have got him now and I am going to eat him only. If you don't run away immediately, I will catch you and I will eat you tomorrow." So Yudhishthir remained firm. He thought deeply and he said, "There must be some way in which he can be released. Was there some proviso within your curse by which you could be released from this curse?" Yudhishthira was not just thinking of the well-being of Bhima, he was also thinking of the well-being of Nahusha. He knew that he must have had great religious merit if he wanted to rise to heavens. Yudhishthira had already heard of Nahusha and of how virtuous a king he was. Surely, Yudhishthira thought that his predicament as a snake would not be meant forever. He said, "Yes. Agastya Rishi told me that if someone can answer my questions about dharma, then that knowledge will liberate me." So Yudhishthira said that, "I will surely try to answer your questions. Please tell me what those questions are. If you can do so," the king said, Nahusha said in the form of the snake, "that then I will liberate you as well as I liberate your brother and you will liberate me." And he asked, "Who is a Brahmana? And what is the highest knowledge?" So Yudhishthira replied that that person who has the qualities of austerity, truthfulness, simplicity, sense control, knowledge of scriptures, faith, he gave a list of qualities, that person is a Brahmana. And knowledge means to be able to tolerate the dualities of the world without being affected by them. So now the snake nodded and he said, "But the qualities that you speak of, they are present in other Varnas, people born in other castes also. And how can they be the qualities of a Brahmana? And how is it possible that one can live in this world without being affected by joys and sorrows?" So Yudhishthira smiled. He always delighted in talking about dharma. And he said, "Yes, wherever those qualities are present, that is where a Brahmana is present. So a person is known not by his birth, but by his qualities." Right? And he said, "By absorbing oneself in the Supreme Brahman, one can tolerate the dualities of life. Therefore, the highest knowledge is not just knowledge of equanimity, but knowledge of absorption in the highest absolute truth." And then he said, "But then, if ultimately qualities are going to determine one's varna, then what is the need for dividing society at all? Yes, the qualities can be the determinant and no need to have the division of society." He said, "No, the division is needed. Division was valid in the past, but over the decades, because of interbreeding among the various castes, now determining the caste has become quite difficult. And that's why it is by qualities alone that the caste should be determined." And in this way, Yudhishthira answered all the questions of Nahusha. And Nahusha became very pleased and satisfied. And then Yudhishthira, ever eager for discussion and wisdom, he thought that Nahusha has been to heavens. He is also a very learned person, despite the error of judgment that he had made. He said, "Let me learn from him also." And then he asked questions in philosophy to him. And Nahusha answered those questions. So Yudhishthira, in this way, was always looking for sharing wisdom and receiving and relishing wisdom. And finally, this discussion got over. Then Nahusha released Bhima. And as soon as Bhima became released, immediately Nahusha, the snake died and a celestial being appeared over there. And that being bowed, folded the hands and offered respect to the Pandavas and disappeared, going back to a higher destination. And Bhima returned back. And Bhima returned to Yudhishthira. Both of them embraced each other. And Yudhishthira told Bhima, "Please do not be so impetuous like this. Be careful." And then, after that, Arjuna returned from the heavens, and when Arjuna told about the various adventures he had and how he had acquired extraordinary weapons, Yudhishthira desired, "Please show me those weapons." And Arjuna started invoking those weapons, about to discharge them. The sages appeared in the sky and they said, "Oh Yudhishthira, these are extremely powerful weapons. They cannot be used just for exhibition. Wait, when the battle comes, you'll be able to see the prowess of these weapons." Yudhishthira nodded in assent. And the Pandavas decided to return back to down from the Gandhamadan Parvat. They were happy over there, living there. But as the 12th year started off, as they had spent several years in the forest, first they had lived at Kamyavan, then they had gone to Badrikashram, and for around 5 years Arjuna had lived in heaven. And then they came back, the Pandavas continued to live in Badrikashram area. But Bhima and Arjuna came and they said that in the future we will have to fight a great war. And if we get too used to living in comfort over here, then we will lose the impetus to prepare for that great war. Therefore, we feel that we should leave this place and return back to the from this Badrikashram, this higher level exist. It was almost like a heavenly planet where they were living. Actually, the Kuvera had allowed them when they had gone to near Kuvera is about to live near his abode. And they said, now better that we return back to the earthly level. They're not exactly in heaven, they're in the part of the earth itself, but it was substantially of a higher level of existence. That we will be performing austerities and remembering what we have lost and remembering what we have to fight so that we can regain it. So Yudhishthira nodded gravely and agreed. So austerity gives us the impetus for working hard. You know, if things are very comfortable, we feel, let things be as it is, there is no need to work hard. So having a certain level of discomfort in life is good because it uses the impetus for working hard. And the Pandavas, they chose to return back to forest existence where the things would be more austere, but they would be more prepared. And as the Pandavas came back, the Krishna again came to meet them, and Krishna gave them news about how their sons were faring. Subhadra had been staying with Krishna, and Abhimanyu had also been staying sometimes in Draupada's kingdom and sometimes with Krishna, and Draupadi's other sons were also there with Krishna. And Pradyumna, Krishna's son, was training all of them in warfare, and they had become great friends together. So they got the news, and then Markandeya Rishi came over there again. Actually, Narad Muni came over there, and then Markandeya Rishi also came. And Markandeya Rishi and Narad Muni, the picture that we see behind, they instructed Yudhishthira in the path of Dharma. And Yudhishthira heard for long, long hours, delighting in hearing of the wisdom. At that time, Draupadi also received, Krishna had come with his queens, and she also, they received instruction from Draupadi. And then Krishna departed. At that time, many incidents happened. The Pandavas, the Kauravas tried to come to insult the Pandavas by flaunting their wealth. But then it was Yudhishthir who saved the day for Duryodhana. And Yudhishthira's virtue shines forward over here also. And Duryodhana had been imprisoned by the Gandharvas. We'll discuss the story when we talk about Arjuna more in detail. But at that time, the Kuru soldiers came to Yudhishthira to beg for help. And Bhima was delighted to know that Duryodhana had been arrested and imprisoned. And he said that, "Oh, it is fortunate that even now the gods desire some good for us." He was thinking that because we have faced so much misfortune, it seems the gods have abandoned us. It's good to know that the gods desire some good for us. That which we would have taken a long time and after great endeavor to achieve defeat of the Kauravas, this has already been achieved by the gods. Very good. So Yudhishthira was grave and he said, "Oh Bhima, between us they may be 100 and we may be 5. But for the rest of the world, we are 105. It is the Kuru ladies who have been imprisoned. It is the Kuru dynasty that has been insulted by the Gandharvas when they have arrested Duryodhana and his brothers and the, their queens. So we must go and rescue them. I would myself have gone, but I am performing a sacrifice over here, so I cannot go. When Bhima was not ready to go at that time, Yudhishthir knew how to channelize Bhima's formidable energy. And he said, "Oh Yudhishthir, oh Bhima, today your worst enemy depends on you for his release. What can give you greater joy than to have that person who was insulting you in the past, to have that person dependent on your mercy and a recipient of your mercy?" So he took Bhima in this way, and Bhima went, and then they rescued. When Duryodhana was brought back in front of Yudhishthir, at that time also Yudhishthir very kindly told Duryodhana, "Oh child, do not engage in such folly. Go now peacefully." So Yudhishthir, even at such time, maintained a very forgiving, tolerant, considerate disposition. That was his immensely virtuous nature. And then after that, Jayadrath once tried to kidnap Draupadi. This also we'll discuss later. But again, when Jayadrath was arrested and brought back, Yudhishthir said, "Let him be forgiven, because he is the husband of Dushala." Dushala was the daughter of, the only daughter of Dhritarashtra and Gandhari, and he said that she should, if we kill him, she will become widow. Let that not happen. Draupadi initially had been very angry, but when she saw him defeated and overpowered, having pity on Dushala, he released him. And then, as the Pandavas were nearing the end of the 12th year of their exile, and they were thinking where they will stay in the 13th year. At that time, suddenly a Brahmana came, and the Brahmana said that my sacrificial sticks and the paraphernalia that I use for performing sacrifices has been taken away by a mysterious creature, something which looked like a deer. It just came and took everything away, and I am not able to get it. Please help me. The Pandavas immediately got up. And they charged. They could see that creature in the distance, and they ran after it for a long distance, but neither could they catch it, and suddenly at one particular moment it disappeared. And the Pandavas started lamenting. They said that, you know, for them as Kshatriyas, you know, service to Brahmanas was a very great duty, and inability to serve the Brahmanas was a disaster. So they started lamenting. Yudhishthira said, "Oh, it is so unfortunate that we are not able to serve Brahmanas. First, we have lost our kingdom, and now we have lost our dharma also because we are not able to serve the Brahmanas." And Bhima said, "It is because I did not kill Duryodhana at that time that we are suffering this misfortune." Arjuna said, "Because I did not kill Karna, that's why this is happening." Sahadeva said, "Because I have not killed Shakuni, that's why this is happening." Yudhishthira, realizing this was getting them nowhere, he turned towards Nakula and he said, "Now we have been running for a long time. Please see if there is any water anywhere. We can at least drink water and regain our strength." Nakula climbed up a tree and could see that birds were going in a particular direction. He said, "Probably there is a lake over there. I'll go there." When he went there to the lake, his plan was to drink some water and get some water for others, or tell them that surely the water is there, come in here. But then when he neared the water, a voice said, "This is my lake, do not drink water from here." Nakula was extremely thirsty, looked around, saw no one, and he decided to drink the water. When he drank the water, he fell dead over there. And then after some time, Yudhishthira saw that no one had come, that Nakula had not returned after almost an hour. He turned, sent Sahadev. And the same thing happened to Sahadev also. And he also was so shocked to see Nakula, but then he saw that he was unconscious. He thought that, "Let me first regain strength and then I will do something about it." And he was told, "Don't drink water, first answer my questions." So Nakula couldn't find anyone, and being too overwhelmed by thirst, he also drank water and he also fell unconscious. And then Arjuna was sent. When Arjuna came there and he saw both his brothers unconscious, he was infuriated and devastated. He turned around and looked, couldn't see anyone. Thirst was intolerable, so he decided to drink water. "Stop! Answer my questions." Arjuna thought, this voice must be responsible. He started looking around, started shooting arrows in all directions. Although he shot arrows, there was no effect. And then, unable to find anyone, he decided to drink water. And he also fell unconscious. Bhima came there and he saw all his three brothers. He was infuriated. He started looking around, about to destroy whoever had done this. But not finding anyone and being unable to tolerate the thirst, he also decided to drink water. And as he drank water, he was warned, but he also drank and he fell unconscious. Finally, Yudhishthir came there. And Yudhishthir saw all his four brothers. He was devastated. And he started lamenting. He says, how is it? Oh Arjuna, you are supposed to be undefeatable. You are going to defeat our enemies. The gods had promised this. How could their words have gone wrong? What calamity has come? Alas, it is all because of me. Because of my foolish gambling that this has happened. Yudhishthira lamented for some time, but then he regained control, started thinking. But there had been no sign of a war anywhere. Surely the Pandavas could not have been killed without a conflict. He said, sure, there was something magical or mystical over here. He looked around and he could not see anyone. And when he decided, let me drink water, he was also very thirsty. And then I will investigate what to do. So he came, he approached the water and again he heard the voice. Stop! First answer my questions. Then he turned around. Yes, I am ready to answer your questions. I do not want to take what is yours. So please appear before me. Who are you? He says, I am a crane and I live and this is my lake. And he saw far away in a tree a crane sitting over there. And he was surprised. He says, no, you cannot be a crane. You must be a celestial being because no ordinary person can kill the Panda, kill my brothers, leave alone, what to speak of a bird killing them, even a human being or a powerful king cannot kill, so probably are devata. He says, no, I am just a crane, you must answer my questions. So actually, Yudhishthir said, I'll answer your question. So Yudhishthir, although he was also very thirsty, but his natural love for knowledge and his eagerness to discuss spirituality and his eagerness, his curiosity here to, because he relied more on wisdom than on strength, he was able to disregard the urging of thirst and focus on discussing wisdom. His brothers, having too much confidence in their strength, neglected the warning. So they are all great, but in this particular pastime, Yudhishthir's patience and virtue shines forth. And then this crane, when Yudhishthira asked, who are you, this crane transformed into a yaksha, and he said, this is my lake and you have to answer my questions. So yaksha asked many questions, again profound questions, and Yudhishthira answered all those questions. He says, what is the way to enlightenment? He says, mahajano yena gatah sapantha, that the path that is followed by the great souls, when you follow that path, then we can attain enlightenment. He says, what is the news in this world? He says, the news in this world is that actually this world is like a pot and we are all like the ingredients inside the pot. And time is the fire that is cooking all living beings. And ultimately, everyone is going to be cooked. And everyone is going to die. What is the most amazing thing in this world? The most amazing thing he said is, Ahanyahanni bhutani gacchanti hayamalayam sheshasthavaram icchanti kimashcharyamatah param. He says that the most amazing thing is that while everybody is going to die, still people think that we will not die, I will not die. And they try to make a permanent arrangement in this world without thinking of the future. So people prepare for the future in terms of this life, but they don't prepare for future in terms of beyond this life. That is the most amazing thing. So in a dharmic culture, long-term preparation means not just preparation for a career in this life, but also beyond this life. And the inability to see this for a dharmic king like Yudhishthira was amazing. And it is an amazing reality if we think about it from an objective perspective. So Yaksha was very pleased by all the answers and he said that ask for whatever benediction you want and ask for one benediction that you want, I'll give you, I'm pleased with your answers. You can ask one of your brothers, let him be revived. And Yudhishthira thought, and he said, please revive Nakula. Yaksha was surprised. He said, surely Bhima is far more powerful and he is much more important for your plans to regain the kingdom. Or why not ask for Arjuna? He has celestial weapons and he can never be defeated in war. Why are you asking for Nakula? So Yudhishthira was grave and he said, it is virtue alone that will lead to success and prosperity and victory. I will never abandon virtue, no matter what the temptation. And he said, through me, one of the sons of Kunti lives. But none of the sons of Madri are alive right now. I want at least one of her sons to be alive. That's why I asked for Nakula. So Yaksha was very pleased. He says, because you do not abandon virtue. Therefore, even under such duress, I am pleased with you. And therefore, I will revive all your sons, all your brothers. And then all the brothers were revived and they looked at Yudhishthira. And they looked at this Yaksha, amazed, grateful that Yudhishthira had brought them back from the dead. And realizing his glory all the more. And Yudhishthira turned towards Yaksha to thank him. And he started thinking, who is this person? He said, you must be surely a devata. Are you by any chance Dharma? And the Yaksha smiled and then he revealed himself as Dharma, the god of death, god of Dharma. And he said, I am your father. Vidura is also my expansion. And I had come here to test you. Ask some more benedictions for me. So Yudhishthira said, the only thing that I want is that the Agnihotra of the Brahmin who had come to ask us for help, let that Agnihotra be restored. He said, it was I only who had come at that mysterious, as that mysterious creature to take away the fire sticks. That will surely be returned. Ask for something else. Yudhishthira said that, actually, that I have had your darshan, that itself is a great fortune. And that the Brahmana's duty has not been interrupted. That itself is enough. But still, because you are asking me to ask for something more, I say, we are now going to go into the forest, going to the incognito period of our exile. Please bless us so that we will stay safely without being detected. So he said, yes, actually this will happen by itself, but I bless you. You will not be detected even if you were to wander around the earth publicly, but you should stay in the kingdom of Virat and there you will stay without any danger of detection. And then he said, ask for one more benediction. And Yudhishthira again said, he said that you have been very kind to me. If at all you want to give me anything, then please bless me so that my mind will always be free from avarice, folly and anger. And let it be always inclined toward charity, austerity and truth. Avarice, folly and anger, very significant things. You know, it was avarice, that means greed, which had led to the whole gambling match. Folly, he felt that avarice had what had motivated Duryodhana and Shakuni and all of them. Folly, he felt I had myself been foolish in going on gambling like this. And anger, he could see how especially Bhima and his other brothers were burning in anger constantly. So he said, he was in his humility saying, I was also greedy. I also gambled because I thought I will get more money. So let me be free from all this and let me be charity, austerity and truth. These are the qualities that a Brahmana, that a Kshatriya in a Brahminical culture is supposed to have. So Yaksha, the Dharma smiled and says, actually you already have these virtuous inclinations, but I bless you nonetheless. And then Yaksha disappeared. And the Pandavas decided to go to Virat to spend their last year incognito. Thank you. Hare Krishna.